Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher, and happy Mardi Gras. Well, today a little bit of fun on the show. We're going to give you a survey of the great music that's a part of the American Carnival Mardi Gras. And while there'll be celebrations around the South and here in Tulsa as well, New Orleans is the home of Mardi Gras, and today we'll sample the music cuisine of the Crescent City with Dennis McGilvery, a music writer and blogger behind Jukebox Delirium. He's developed his taste for the music of Mardi Gras while working at two California public radio stations some years ago. He joins us today on a rather festive Studio Tulsa. Dennis McGilvery, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
And happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, laissez la bande en rouler.
Well, I imagine several people will, at least today, and certainly down in New Orleans. Today we're talking about Mardi Gras music, and Mardi Gras music is sort of like New Orleans itself. It's this amalgam of musics in which you got brass bands, you got these great R&B piano players, you got R&B bands, you've got folk music, you got country music, and it's all mixed together. In fact, you'll see influences from country music and the brass bands, and it's just everything sort of melds together and into these very distinct sort of musics.
Yeah, it is a real melting pot and kind of comes out of the same milieu that jazz came out of, the mix of West African rhythms and European brass band music. That's, you know, kind of where it got its start way back when, and just continued blending different styles over the years.
And then you also have this piano school that, I mean, you can trace it back to Louis Moreau Gottschalk, you know, who was one of our first great American classical music artists who came out of New Orleans. And from that beginning, you think of one of his classic pieces, the banjo, and you listen to like one of these 1970s, 1980s New Orleans piano players like Professor Longhair. That rhythm is still there.
Right, yeah, and Gottschalk, you know, apparently, you know, he witnessed a lot of what was going on there in Congo Square in New Orleans and, you know, saw that at its birth.
Yeah. Well, we've brought a bunch of music today on Studio Tulsa. We're just going to play a lot of music that sort of describes this amalgam. Our first piece is that piano school, and that piano school is really long, and you can go everywhere from Fats Domino to Professor Longhair to Mac Rebennack, Dr. John, to one of the Neville brothers, Art Neville, to James Booker, to Henry Butler. I mean, New Orleans just turns out these incredible piano players.
Yeah, that's a great tradition, and it's so strong there. And that's some of my favorite part of the Mardi Gras type of music, especially Professor Longhair, Henry Rowland Byrd. Really interesting story, and just an incredible player who wrote some of the really iconic sort of Mardi Gras-related tunes.
Now, give us the insight on Professor Longhair. He's been a New Orleans institution. All the bands sort of pay homage to Professor Longhair.
Yeah, he apparently grew up in New Orleans, kind of played music on the streets when he was young, tap dancing and, you know, doing stuff for money on the streets, became a piano player, recorded starting in the late 40s and, you know, really steadily through the 50s, kind of alongside Fats Domino and some of those early piano players, Huey Piano Smith and guys like that. Kind of fell on hard times in the 60s, I guess had a gambling problem, was living as a janitor for many years until the maybe early to mid 70s. He was kind of rediscovered, revived his career. Actually, George Winston, the
new age
piano player, had a record label called Dancing Cat Records. He was a huge fan of old boogie woogie and stride piano players, and he put out this album in the late 70s of Professor Longhair that was one of the things that helped revive his career before he died. But he really got a lot of great recognition, you know, at the end of his life, thankfully.
Well, let's hear one of his, well, it really goes right along with today, Mardi Gras in New Orleans. This is probably one of his biggest hits. It's probably been one of his most covered hits, too, over the years.
Everybody does this.
Here's Professor Longhair with Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
Thank you. Minnesota, Northern Dash, the Coupe Chevrolet. Ah, Jimmy the Cracker, the Doodaddy Giga.
That's Mardi Gras New Orleans by Professor Longhair. Great. Of course, we don't even get to hear him sing yet. He's still whistling, which was one of his great trademarks, too.
Yeah, he did that quite a lot and was known for that. It's a great tune, and it's a Mardi Gras Day classic.
And, you know, out of Professor Longhair, you mentioned he sort of came back in the 1970s. This is about the time when New Orleans begins to really rediscover its heritage. You know, you've got guys like the Meters and the Neville Brothers are coming on at that point, and they're all of a sudden pointing back to the guys from the 40s and 50s and 60s, and all of a sudden New Orleans is saying, wow, this is this great heritage. And that's when they're really one of the first cities to really appreciate their musical heritage.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the famous New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival started in the early 70s and was a huge boost for the city to recognize its own musical heritage. And yeah, an incredible array of musicians and styles have come from New Orleans. And in the 70s, there was a real burst of it. The Neville Brothers performing as the Meters earlier on in the 70s. And, you know, Aaron Neville had R&B hits back in the early 60s.
Yeah.
They have a long family history that's still continuing today with some of their kids.
One of the other things we associate with Mardi Gras is the parades and the brass band tradition, which goes everything from funerals to celebrations to, you know, you can't go to New Orleans without running into a parade somewhere any day of the year, really. And the brass band tradition goes back to the 1800s. But what's really interesting is how that brass band tradition was pretty unchanged for an awful long time until about, I want to say, early 80s maybe, or late 70s. All of a sudden, you started seeing the influence of New Orleans popular music all of a sudden sort of transform brass band music.
Right. I think it did have its kind of tradition, you know, and people had kind of done it pretty much the same way for most of the century. And then some of these younger bands started coming around and tweaking it a little bit, maybe even starting with like the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, you know, that kind of put a little funk into it.
Yeah, all of a sudden the tuba's playing a funky bass line instead of just, you know, 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it becomes dance music.
Right. And really, you know, all the music we talk of is Mardi Gras music is dance music at its heart, you know, of a different form or another, you know, and that's a huge part of Mardi Gras, the masquerade balls, the parades, and all the dancing. But I think it became even funkier as, you know, the century went on.
Let's hear a little music from the brass band. This is Rebirth Brass Band, which is one of the ones that really, along with Dirty Dozen Brass Band, really transformed that whole brass band scene. And this is a tune called Do What You Wanna. That's music by the Rebirth Brass Band as we're celebrating Mardi Gras today on Studio Tulsa. My guest today is Dennis McGilvray, a music writer, and he also writes the blog Jukebox Delirium, also a big aficionado of New Orleans music, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. We're just playing some great Mardi Gras music today, and we're talking about the various traditions, and earlier we talked about the great piano tradition. The brass bands are another tradition. Of course, if you watch Tremé, you probably heard that music there because that is very much prominently featured on the HBO series.
Yeah, I have not seen the series. I know the story and the storyline, and I know that music is a huge part of the show, and Mardi Gras plays a big part in the storyline too.
Right, and of course, you know, with the brass bands, it's everything from Rebirth is sort of, it sort of skirts between the traditional and the modern. Then you have these other brass bands who are just utterly modern, and they're doing like pick up the pieces and things like that, and just utterly, you know, in-your-face brass band that is just, it's so much fun to listen to hear.
Yeah, you know it's a tradition.
Brass bands continuing, playing like electric guitar riffs and things like that.
Yeah. They, you know, they're in, you know, continuing to do innovation in that musical form, you know, which is just, you know, a huge part of the New Orleans story.
And it's also, tradition is a big part of it. Those parades, you know, they happen all year around. It doesn't matter. And in fact, they're always looking for, you know, excuse to have a parade in many senses, and whether it's funeral processions or just celebration parades. Mm-hmm. This is these marching bands, as they call them down there. This is a big part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Brass bands.
Yeah, that, you know, that's been going on in New Orleans for, you know, over a century, these brass bands playing for all these different, you know, rituals during people's lives to enhance, you know, what's going on in their grief or their joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, another closely associated with the brass bands is the traditional Dixieland bands. You know, really, Dixieland, as we really know it today, is probably more Chicago style than New Orleans style for the most part, because, you know, the New Orleans style was really almost like marches in a way, you know, the old school Dixieland. But, of course, Dixieland has always been a part of New Orleans ever since, and the Chicago style sort of migrated back to New Orleans over the years.
Right.
And we're going to hear a tune by the Dukes of Dixieland.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's sort of like really sort of the white tradition of Mardi Gras. This is the piece that we're going to hear. It's If I Ever Cease to Love. And this is sort of very important on Mardi Gras.
Yeah, this is actually something that I only came across recently doing some reading about the history of Mardi Gras. This tune, If I Ever Cease to Love, was written by George Laybourne, a British music writer in the 1870s. He's the same guy that wrote the song The Man on the Flying Trapeze, which, you know, you kind of associate with almost circus or carousel music now is where we hear it. But this tune was apparently used starting back then at the masquerade ball of the crew of Rex. And when the king came in to the masquerade ball with his consort, this was used as his entrance theme, and, you know, I guess still remains in use today. But I think it was probably used more formally at some of these masquerade balls that were, you know, playing waltz music and more formal orchestral music.
Yeah, and that's the whole, this twin, you know, between white and African American and the Creole tradition, is that each have their own traditions. And of course, Rex, this was sort of the New Orleans elite. Crew, as we say, the Krewes, which is basically a club, a private club.
Yeah. Often, you know, they were social clubs. Sometimes they were these benevolent societies that actually provided, you know, insurance-like funds for people in need, some of the lesser known groups.
Mm-hmm.
Those, you know, some of those crews like Rex are still in existence today.
Yeah. Well, let's hear, this is from the Dukes of Dixieland, this old tune, If I Ever Cease to Love, which is for a certain segment of New Orleans, is Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Dukes of Dixieland playing If I Ever Cease to Love here on Studio Tulsa. My guest, Dennis McGilvray, a music writer, and he writes the blog Jukebox Delirium. We're talking about Mardi Gras music today on Mardi Gras on here on Studio Tulsa. Well, we talked about Dixieland, brass bands, piano. The other one, there's this other side of New Orleans, which a lot of people really think of as New Orleans today. That's the, I don't have a better word than saying like the R&B. This would be everything right. from the Meters to old R&B, like, you know, Fats Domino yeah. got a start. You know, even Bo Diddley had some, right. you know, elements of New Orleans music oh, in yeah. his music. And
Lee Dorsey, all those guys. Mm-hmm. Irma Thomas, mm-hmm. the blues singer. Earl King, Little Richard, you know, right. even had that influence, yeah.
And it's just sort of that bouncing beat that we sort of hear in second line music, and the traditional second line, which is that heavy snare drum sort of riff that sort of propels the music forward.
Right.
That's a big part of New Orleans music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the R&B, you know, is probably one of the things that most people are familiar with. It became, you know, big in the record industry, on the airwaves, you know, in the 50s and 60s. All the great music that was coming out of New Orleans and then continued on through people like Dr. John and the Meters and Neville Brothers. It's an incredible tradition.
And really, the Meters is where this music really moved beyond New Orleans, I think,
in a lot of
senses. It, you know, Dr. John then took it internationally, but the Meters were like, they made these first records where it's like, wow, this is really different than any other R&B we're hearing at the time.
Yeah, they were very funky, and, yeah. you know, they put a lot of funk into that R&B music, you know, at the time when that was, you know, just coming on in the early 70s there. And then, you know, when they started playing under the name of the Neville Brothers, you know, they really exploded. And I listened to them a lot in mid to late 80s. I was living in Santa Cruz, California, and that's where I was turned on to this music. And there was a great club there between, you know, we were between San Francisco and Los Angeles, so we'd get all these great bands, even though it was kind of a small town. And, you know, I saw the Neville Brothers come in, and actually even one time when I was visiting London with my now wife, it just happened that the Neville Brothers were playing there, and we saw them at this London club, and it was at the time when John Goodman was filming the movie, I think, King Ralph there, and he joined them on stage because he was a huge fan, and yeah, it was kind of wild to see them in a place not their native home, but the audience was really into the music and was as responsive as, you know, any audience here was.
They really made New Orleans music an international commodity.
Right, yeah.
Well, let's hear, this is actually the Meters back to, and this is one of these great Mardi Gras anthems, Big Chief.
Yeah, yeah, listen to this and you'll learn a lot about Mardi Gras.
That's Big Chief by the Meters from the album Kickback, as we talk about Mardi Gras music. You know, I remember when I first heard this tune and they were talking about Indians and Mardi Gras, and I'm going, it was about 20 years ago.
Right.
Going, what are they talking about Indians?
Yeah, I think.
And of course, that is the African-American crews. They dress up in these incredible feather costumes. And that's another part of Mardi Gras, too.
Yeah.
And the fact that people organize a lot of their their sort of life commitment around being a part of the Indian cruise.
Right, yeah. I mean, they spend thousands of dollars and many months creating these elaborate costumes.
And that weigh 40 or 50 pounds when they're, they're incredibly elaborate.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, that goes back to the old history of New Orleans where the African slaves intermarried with some of the Indian tribes down there, and that's kind of where that tradition comes from.
Well, we're talking about the various musics of Mardi Gras today on Studio Tulsa with Dennis McGilvray, a music writer, and he writes the blog Jukebox Delirium, a devotee of Mardi Gras music here on Mardi Gras. We wish you a very happy Mardi Gras if you're going to be out and about tonight. Mm-hmm. Another great music is sort of what we consider it's the countryside of New Orleans music, which in the more city-fied version is Zydeco, and then you really have country music in the Cajun music.
Yeah, I guess, it kind of originates more in the outside of New Orleans.
That French Arcadia sort of thing.
Right, yeah. And, a lot of people, again, another thing that popularized New Orleans music, the rise of Zydeco music in the 80s was... and 90s was a big thing and has become a popular style of music to hear in the Cajun music from bands like Beausoleil, Michael Doucet and Beausoleil, the more fiddle-based, like you said, sort of countrified music style that is also very popular.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little music from Clifton Chenier and the Red Hot Louisiana Band. This is sort of quintessential Zydeco.
Yep.
Here's a Boogie in New Orleans. Clifton Chenier and the Red Hot Louisiana Band here on Studio Tulsa. We're playing Mardi Gras music. And, of course, that is sort of like the urban version of Cajun music, I would suppose. Zydeco, it's just its own subgenre.
Yeah, Zydeco kind of blends Cajun music into itself along with, blues and rhythm and blues. So it's taken, again, these different traditions and made something new out of it.
Yeah, that was just a basic 12-bar blues, but it's sort of got its own way of, telling the blues in a way.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear the other side of it, and this is Beausoleil, a great band that comes through Tulsa quite often, as a matter of fact. Here's a waltz number, which you really associate with that sort of Cajun music and the music of South Louisiana, Le Bon Temps Brûlé waltz here on Studio Tulsa. That's Beausoleil here on Studio Tulsa as we heard a Le Bon Temps Brûlé waltz. Good times.
Good stuff. And again, dance music, that's at the heart of all of this music is, getting people to move and groove and a huge part of Mardi Gras, having
of course,
a good time.
That tune you heard the fiddle at the forefront, but you still heard the squeeze box or the accordion.
Right.
You also heard the wash boards in the background.
Rug board,
which, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun to see. I've, you know, seen some Cajun and Zydeco bands, and watching those guys with those rub boards and washboards is pretty fun.
Yeah. We're talking about Mardi Gras music, and I have to ask you, Dennis, what are you going to be doing on Fat Tuesday? What's your plans for Fat Tuesday today?
Well, I got to go get a king cake first. I made a huge pot of gumbo for Super Bowl, so I'm not doing that again, but I'll probably hit the parade in the Blue Dome area tonight, which is a lot of fun, and it's really neat that that's happening here in Tulsa now.
Getting a little Mardi Gras in Tulsa, not a whole lot, but at least a little bit. And that's good.
We've got some good bakeries and specialty food stores that are, you can get your fix at least.
You certainly can. Some Blue Runner red beans and rice. That's my idea of a good night. All right. Well, we hope you have a great Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday tomorrow. And we're going to leave folks with a little bit of Dr. John. That's always a great music. Dr. John, here's one of his great hits, Ico, Ico. Well, we hope you have a great Mardi Gras. Dennis McGilvery, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun talking about this great music.
Local music writer Dennis McGilvery speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa, featuring Mardi Gras music. He writes the blog Jukebox Delirium. By the way, if you're looking for things to do this evening, the downtown Mardi Gras parade takes place tonight at 7 in the Blue Dome District, and Cajun Ed's annual Mardi Gras party takes place this afternoon at 5 at A-Bear's Meats on 71st. Of course, many of your favorite watering holes will be having great Mardi Gras specials as well. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. We're going to leave you with a little music by the wild man himself, James Booker.
I love you, baby. Well, you know I love you, baby. But you stay.